Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Revolution Radio. Today is Wednesday, June 1st, 2011, and we are in our third year, two and a half year of the usurpation of the Constitution and our government. And in the last year, we have been very seriously. Excuse me just a second. I'm paying attention to the chat room just to see if we have any of our friends in here. And let me see here just a second. Okay. In the last 2.5 years of this usurpation, last 3.5 years of this usurpation, we have found through all of our trials that basically all of the institutions, mainly the people in those institutions, have failed us. The checks and balances that could have been there have not been. This has been going on for a long time, but I would have to say it is pretty clear, I think, to everybody in the country, well, most of us who are awake anyway, that the entire government is out of line. They're in rebellion to the Constitution, the oath that they took to uphold it, and they're not doing anything about it. So tonight, because of what we have faced, it's really now time for us to exercise what was said in the Declaration of Independence, to basically break our chains with this particular crowd of people and forge on ahead. And we're going to break our chains, first of all, by forcing them to do their job and then forcing them to resign or electing them out. But as I was talking about last week, we cannot elect out, we cannot vote out corruption. This is deep, very, very deep. So tonight we have a lot of ground to cover. I'd like to thank all of our soldiers and military people out there for fighting for us, those who are retired, those who are serving. I hope you get a chance to listen to broadcasts like this, because perhaps this is the only place you can hear this or read it, but we really need you guys home. There is a usurpation going on, and a lot of people are ignoring the Constitution, and the American people are in great, great trouble. So let me say good evening to our chat room. Hi, Obama, release your records. I'll start from the bottom here. Mountain Goat. Hi, Nisi, New York Chuck. Chez, nice to see you. Jet Driver Jen, nice to see you. All the guests, please feel free to come in and join everything. Hello, Auntie MZ, Attila's daughter. Hi, Attila's daughter, nice to see you. And Troy, nice to see you all. So good evening and welcome again. Tonight we're going to talk about basically let's get this rolling. Let's get this guy out of there. I think that they are afraid and want to let him be voted out, but we all know that there's already corruption set up. This is already set up. Obama is not worried about this. He thinks, and we all know that if he's allowed to run, he will win. And there is nobody out there that's really doing anything right now. Perhaps we all got played by Donald Trump, but who knows? Well, let me just say yes. All the evidence indicates that he may be, you know, on Obama's side, but he met with Palin today, and he said again that, oh, maybe he could do it if he was a third candidate. So do we hide? I mean, do we try it out? Do we try out a third party? I'm still not sure about this. Who's working for who here? And Obama has been found to have all this criminal background, multiple names, forged certificates, stolen Social Security number, aliases, forged Selective Service, autobiography written by somebody else, questions, so big questions about birthplace, whether it was Kenya, whether it was Indonesia, you know, what kind of spy he is, so forth and so on, who he's being controlled by, and so forth. There are all these false flags coming out there, in my view, in terms of, for example, the insider, White House insider. Yeah, sure, there's this coup going on with inside. Or, yeah, right, the FBI is really looking at all of this. How come nobody's moved on anything? My own theory is that they are all so corrupt, they've got everything on everybody, and so they're not going to do anything about this. So there we go. Okay, let me see. All right, let me see if we've got our guests on this evening. So tonight we want to talk about a number of ideas. I think they're going to be calling in about a minute, but let me throw out a few ideas here. You've seen my recent posts, and I'm going to start with this post by one of our guests this evening, Kathleen Gatto, who wrote in the post an email. This is our demand for justice against the overthrow of the U.S. Constitution, which has really happened. Yes, it's happened over a long time, but there are things we need to now do about this. I remember serving in the Continental Congress in 2009, This is 2011. Things have not changed. So this evening we have Kathy Gatto, who will introduce herself, but she wrote this terrific article, which pulled a lot of our sentiments together. And we also have Gary Wilmot, who's joining us this evening. I'm going to bring them both on for you. Kathy.
Yes. Hi, Kate.
Hi. Very good. Is it Kathy or Kathleen?
Well, you can call me Kathy.
Thank you very much. And Gary, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Wonderful. This is Gary Wilmot of the wonderful website Give Us Liberty 1776, which I will be posting in just a second. And Kathy, I just posted your article. And this evening, just like we said, it's time to get rolling on moving on where we're going. And Gary has been wonderful in terms of providing ideas and getting going and kicking a bunch of us in the tail to get going on ideas. Kathleen came up with this one. We've got lots of things to discuss about how we can move on this, our postcard campaign, sticky notes, going after or really pressing certain individuals. I put an article up about the Miss Prison of Treason campaign or reporting the felony. Can we stand down? Where are we moving? So from those two perspectives, I'd like to welcome both of our guests, ask you both to introduce each other, and perhaps as a start, I'd like to suggest that we start with Kathy's article, terrific article today on the post and email, and what you have in mind in terms of implementing this idea.
Well, first of all, the impetus behind writing that was there's so much information out there that I did not know of any place where we had everything reposited in one document or one website. So I spent some time, and it's not a definitive work at all, but I came up with as much as I could for the try to hit the high points and some links so that people could go and read the different various links from different sources. So it was just trying to get everything together in one spot as a starting point for people to go to and to look at, because it is so big, it's so hard to get our arms around this thing, that that was the idea behind it, is just to have an article that had links that people could check out themselves and to get an idea of the whole picture, to stand back and say, oh, my gosh, we got all this going on, and that's not even half of it. And where we go from here, Dr. Kate, is a good question. I think it's going to be up to the individuals. It seems like people have a lot of good ideas, and maybe someone's idea is not going to work for us, but we have our own idea. What I plan on doing with that article is to, I've already sent it to my congressman and a few other congressmen in the Republican Party leadership, but it's going to go to more congressmen. This is not my first time to write to them, but at least this is something I'm giving them that has documentation on it. But I'm also sending it to the FBI, to the same offices that Doug Vogt, I'm not sure how you pronounce his name, he's the one that filed the 22 charges against Barack Obama with the FBI. I want that FBI office, actually there's a couple of them, to have this document also to kind of, you know, add some more pressure there.
Well, this is great, and for those of you who haven't read this article, let me read one of the sort of definitive statements. Why this is important is because we're developing the form of our petition, really, of our demand for change that looks very much like the Declaration of Independence. So let me just read the first piece of this, and in congratulations to you, Kathy. Let it be known that Barack Hussein Obama, a.k.a. Barry Sotero, Barry Barack Sobarka, and variations thereof, attained the office of the U.S. presidency in January 2009 without meeting the eligibility requirements of Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the United States Constitution, which mandates only a natural-born citizen, one born of two U.S. citizen parents, is eligible to hold that office. Take note, none of the 535 members of Congress can hide behind the April 3rd and March 18th, 2010 propaganda hit pieces written by Jack Maskell of the Congressional Research Service, which twists and corrupts the natural-born citizen definition in a transparent attempt to provide cover for the cowardly congressman. I want to say congratulations for laying that piece out in particular, because I'm not sure that many people know that our own Congressional Research Service responds to requests by members of Congress, and this was clearly a way to cover their tail. So we all got those stupid form letters and what Obama produced in 2008. I got four of them from my congressmen and senators in terms of the 2008 fraudulent COLB. So all of them now are put on notice and caught, essentially, by virtue of asking for that Congressional Research Service memo. And that becomes, for example, as you say, Exhibit A in the people's charge against all of those folks that they need to leave this office, and including everybody in that Congressional Research Service, for example. It's an outright lie. So please comment on that, and Gary, feel free to jump in here.
Oh, no problem. It's uncanny that while Kathy was working on her terrific document over the weekend, I was drafting a letter to my congressman who lives practically down the street from me, high up on a hill looking over me like the feudal lord, and he has twice ignored any efforts to meet with me, probably because I was stupid enough to tell him why I wanted to meet with him. Probably I should have just told him it was something else entirely, and he would, and I could have got my foot through the door. But it is uncanny that I, in my letter to Congressman Gallagher here in Simi Valley, I also made mention of the Congressional Research Service memorandum, which was nothing more than an effort to provide cover for our gutless, cowardly congresspersons. And as you said, Dr. Kate, you know, they would just turn out these form letters and just hope that we would just go away. But, you know, we're not going to go away. And we have to, you know, cleanse the government entirely. It's not just a matter of Obama, but we've got 535 people in the government that are covering for him. And all it takes is one with some courage to stand up and obey their oath, their sworn oath, to uphold the Constitution and to represent their constituents. All it takes would be one, and we could blow this thing sky high. But unfortunately, they're backing us into a corner, and they're making it difficult for us. But we're not going to back down.
And I would say that our goal right now is to back them in a corner.
Absolutely.
And this picks up on an earlier idea, Gary, that you had about targeting specific people with this issue. And I'm again thinking of all these presidential candidates, and I'm thinking of, you know, as we had thought about Alan West, why is he quiet on Terry Lakin? I think about Ron Paul. You know, he has a very good message, but he's also afraid to be called a birther, so forth and so on. But in the face of such fraud, I can't imagine that he wouldn't be willing to do something like this. So good effort on that letter. And Kathy, what do you think about the CRS memo and how we use it to back them into a corner?
Well, I think calling them on it is a start, and that's why I put it in the first paragraph. But basically what that CRS memo says to me is we've ramped up our propaganda. Now we're trying to make it look like it's an official congressional document that has come forth, and so the issue is finished. We're done. It's been, but that's not the truth. We know that. And they grossly, grossly underestimate the American people. So I think the letting them know that we know what is behind that memo is a good place to start. But what I want to do is kind of press the legal authorities, you know, the FBI, and continue also to press on the our congressmen. But I'm also sending this out to different media, not just national, but also international. And I even sent it to the Kenya National, NSIS, National Security Investigative Service, I believe it's called, because they were doing their own investigation over there because they had reason to believe that Obama's birth files, if there had been any, are now gone. But there is some evidence that something is missing and something is amiss. And they have said, stated, and I don't know who got the memo from them now, but they have stated that wherever this is coming from, the tinkering in the birth certificate office there, is it way high up in the Kenyan government. And, you know, the one that comes to my mind is Odinga. You know, he must owe a favor or two to Obama, being his cousin or friend or whatever the relationship is. We only can guess. So I let them know that, you know, while you're investigating on your end, we're investigating on our end. And, you know, it's really telling that we the people have taken on the investigation. We're the adults here. You know, we're the ones that are upholding our Constitution.
Well, if I could interject along that same line, can you imagine if just one network, one of the three networks, or one of the big cable outlets, just one of them broke away and just started to devote their attention into researching this? This would go nuts. It'd be bigger than Watergate. The whole country would be riveted, and we'd resolve the problem. What a betrayal of the media. I know I'm speaking about something that's well-known amongst all of us talking here and listening, but, I mean, the betrayal of the mainstream media is beyond belief. It is incredible, and it makes you wonder what kind of a country they want us to be.
Well, and that didn't happen overnight either. This has been something that's been going on for some time. It's like the frog in the water. You know, all of a sudden we're starting to feel the heat, and we, you know, some of us are jumping out, and some people are still staying in there because they don't know any better.
It wasn't that long ago that Bill Clinton, the liberal darling, Mr. Wonderful, the media was pounding him on Monica Lewinsky. But, I mean, good grief. We've got a man in the White House right now who has been a career criminal since he was a teenager. He has been scamming and the system and working all the angles and breaking the law and his Chicago thuggery and lying and committing crimes that, you know, unimaginable crimes that would have it multiple life sentences, and he's in the White House. You know, I mean, it's changed a lot since the 90s when they were chasing Bill Clinton.
Oh, well, for sure. But also, let me suggest this, that as you've been talking, both of you, picking up different phrases for this idea that one of my readers, Bill, has been using, which I think I passed it on to you both, which is the postcards. Now, right. For example, if we had a postcard that listed, for example, parts of the CRS memo with a stamp over there that says fraud or that says lie or that points out one of, for example, any one of the people who's analyzed it, the complete shoot-down argument so that whoever reads this postcard can see it's a sham, or facts about Barack Obama, with fraud written all over it as well. So there are some notes in the chat room here, too, about other avenues that we need to inform people about. For example, when Obama stumps for Odinga in clear violation of the Logan Act a while ago, as well as $23 million of our U.S. taxpayer dollars went to and help win that constitution in Kenya. Bribery. I guess that's what I'm getting at. Is bribery.
Well, yeah. But I think well, you can list literally 100 crimes this man's committed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the general American public is going to get their heads around, you know, things like him campaigning in Kenya as much. I'm not saying that we should minimize any of these crimes. But I believe that the American public can certainly get their head around the fact that on the morning of April 27th, the pretend president of the United States committed a felony on TV. Okay, they can kind of understand the concept that if we can educate the American public and show them without a shadow of a doubt that the birth certificate is a fraudulent document and that he had the audacity to do such, they can really get their head around that. It's breaking
through.
Well,
yes, but we don't have a document, for one thing. It's not
right,
a document.
But why don't we have a document? You know,
right,
I mean,
that's... Now, yes, I agree that's definitely one thing. And we're also talking about different targets, I think, in terms of
right.
getting
the
things
social
going.
Social Security numbers
like
is another
Kathy
one that
was saying, sending
understand.
Where that letter is going. I also had, as you know, an article on the misprison of treason, report
right.
to crime, and that also goes to law enforcement and so forth. And this issue of the Logan Act would go to people like in Congress, where they couldn't ignore this thing. But absolutely, for the general American public, how do we educate on that? And how do you say a felony is committed? How do you make that clear? All
right,
right. We've already proven the electronic image is a forgery. We've already proven there's no document. Ms. Tickley's already proven that the 2008 document had a reverse, a debossed seal, not an embossed seal, which is required. How do we propose to do that, and how does that work with Kathy's letter today? How do we do this?
Well, before we really address specifics, one of the notes that I took was mentioned, a comment that came up 10 minutes ago was Kathy or yourself said that, you know, Obama, you know, our government in general has underestimated the American people. They have, in the sense that the issue will not go away, and it's never going to go away because there are people like ourselves and you know, thousands of people out there listening or you know, active bloggers or writers or whatever. There's a lot of patriots out there that know what right from wrong and know that our country's in trouble. But they haven't underestimated the American people to the extent that they have calculated that so many people just won't wake up and pay attention. Or they've got, you know, I use this, you know, rather crude expression, they've got their heads up their rear end. And the point I'm making is that we have not reached, and this goes to your question, Dr. Kate, how do we get there? That we have not reached critical mass, and we're not there, we're nowhere near there yet. And it's unfortunate because time is going by. And I agree with your premise at the beginning of the program. This man, he's running. There is no way logically, there's no way that common sense would say that he could be reelected, because I think everybody can agree that he has lost votes. He is less popular than he was in 2008. He has even lost 6% of the black population. The monolithic 96% is down to about 89 or 90%. So he has lost votes. So how can he win? Well, we all know he's going to win because they've got the mechanisms in place, the infrastructure, to rig this election, and that's what everybody has to be afraid of. And that's a message that needs to get out there, too. We cannot afford to have this man run for reelection because he knows that he's got the infrastructure to rig this election and rob us. And once that's done, we're cooked. But getting back to your question, what do we do? How do we do it? Well, we need to mobilize, and we need to have people doing lots of different things on lots of different fronts. But you cannot be a voyeur. You cannot be just listening to this program and get off, you know, after 90 minutes and say to your spouse, well, that was interesting and kind of scary, isn't it, honey? but then don't do anything. You got to do something. You got to do something for yourselves. You got to do something for your family, your kids, your grandchildren, the future generations. Otherwise, America ceases to exist. And I got news for you. This government is coming after your retirement. They're coming after everything.
So it makes me wonder if we need to produce the video, if you will, on just what you just said right now, because it's pretty clear. Now, I can think actually of a lot of activities, and what I want to say is I think we're heading towards, as you said, critical mass. I can see in our future a number of different options. One of those is doing it ourselves, is basically doing it ourselves, you know, going there, millions and millions, and doing it ourselves, and basically forcing the military to make a choice of who they're going to protect and who they aren't. That's one idea. Sorry, I've got dogs barking outside.
I closed my door so you wouldn't hear my dogs.
Well, you know,
the smaller they are, the bigger their bark.
I don't mean to monopolize the conversation. There's ebb and flow, I'm sure. But I have always maintained that we're not there yet. We don't have enough people to go. Unfortunately, the only people that are willing to march are the anarchists and the unemployed and the people in entitlements. The people that care about this country are going to work every day and earning an honest living, obeying the laws. And unfortunately, not enough of them are paying attention to what's going on in the country. And that's what we have to do. We have to educate the people so that they're willing to do that. But with that said, I believe that the people in the government have got it strategized to the point where they know that if you show up in Washington, D.C., they're going to disperse you and say, you weren't permitted for this, you know. You want to get a permit to come and march in Washington, D.C., you tell us what you're coming there for, and if you don't come with that purpose in mind and you don't follow the rules, we'll disperse you. That's the thing I'm afraid of.
I don't want to go there yet because we all always get tripped up on those permit things and so forth, but I think where we all have been as well, and one of the points of Kathy's letter is we must force Congress and pressure and make it unbearable to get this investigation going immediately, as well as the other work that we must do on educating the public. We can't do one without the other, so to speak, or put off one until the other is complete. Because there are a core of us, many of us who are listening to this show and will be listening to the archive and all of the blogs that are active on this, and there, each blog has, depends, thousands or hundreds of readers. This is the way I think we're going to mobilize at least those who are aware right now. We've got to take advantage of that and absolutely force this investigation of Congress. That was my idea in the misprison of felony, is report it, and this is where I'm now seeing the wisdom of postcards.
If I could throw out an idea, a strategy, and we can kind of, talk about it a bit and see if anybody wants to call in and put in their two cents. One of the things that I've thought about is that it's all about organization. So I would propose that in every state in the union, one or two or three people step up to the plate and become organizers for their state. And then we have a central place, like, for example, a blog or a website or whatever, where people can go and sort of, check in on their assignments. And these sort of captains in these different states, they're the ones that they just work in the state to organize, get their organization together, and they dole out the assignments, and they monitor what's going on. And sort of from that level, because if you try to do it on a sort of a national level, it's I think, unmanageable. Hello?
I'm here.
There's always a delay. Kathy, please jump in.
Oh, I'm just thinking about what Gary said, and, you know, I agree with that. We really need to break this into smaller pieces. And if we have a lot of people out there, but we're scattered, and we all have our own little area, and maybe that's fine. But we also need an umbrella organization, if you will, so that we can be a little bit organized and let others do things on the fringes or on the edges. And I don't have a whole lot of suggestions in that area other than what Gary has already said. If there
well, my idea would
who
be
would
then
be willing to step up and be like the state captain of the whatever state and organize from there.
Well, my idea would be, like, for example, Kathy, you're in Colorado. You could be one of the captains of Colorado, and then we could have a website that has sort of assignments for the week, and then you communicate to your foot soldiers, so to speak. We're going to be writing to, you know, all the local congressmen in the state of Colorado for the next 4 weeks, and we're, you know, and each person is, you know, required to do, you know, 10 or 12 postcards or letters or something like that. You know what I mean? Similar activity could be going on in a different state or in another state where, like Arizona, maybe you're pushing a totally different issue. You're hammering one particular politician. But I think the underlying theme, you really have to have an underlying theme that's a constant, and that's the criminality of Obama, the criminality of the government. And the fact that we don't have a lot of time, we've got to move with a great deal of speed.
What about the phrase, the overthrow of the U.S. government does not resonate in the ears of all Americans? Because that's what we have taking place, took place, and is continuing to take place, is the overthrow of our constitutional republic. That affects every single man, woman, and child living in this country. What? How could that not resonate among people? And yet there still is that apathy, if you will. I'm hoping that the enthusiasm of those of us that are in the fight will be contagious enough that others will say, well, you know what, I don't want anything more to happen on my watch. How am I going to express to my family that I did nothing?
Well,
it's like Hitler.
I
know, it's like
a lot
Hitler.
Of flyers.
People just sat on their hands.
I'm sorry. I hand out a lot of flyers in my travels, and I get, you know, some really strange reactions, and sometimes I feel like somebody's going to beat me up, even old ladies. But I have one flyer that I'm looking at right now, and it says, regardless your political affiliation, you must read this. Our country's future and the future of your grandchildren and your children and grandchildren is at stake. You know what I mean? Trying to have a hook, make somebody, read it, because
now then here's the other idea: is in your daily commute, is you have a series of signs, born a Brit, not legit,
yeah.
Various other things, birth certificate forgery, no Obama, various other things that you use on your commute to basically send the message. Of course, you want to remove those signs if you're parking in an unsecured area and so forth.
Especially when you work in Santa Monica.
Well, yeah, but we're going to have to do stuff like that as well, and it's
right.
Going to have to be broken down. Now, for example, the issue on the Constitution has been overthrown might be better served by asking a question. Has our Constitution been overthrown? Has our country been overthrown? Rather than telling people, what has happened. And this is a way to draw people in, and future of your children and grandchildren and so forth. This is why some of the other things, the sticky note campaign, again, the postcards or flyers or, again, the various signs, that you can use. We've got to really get this out whatever way we can.
I think it has to be really a two-pronged effort. You have to educate the public. We just don't have enough people involved. We do, you know, there's so much apathy. There's so many people that just are ignorant. There's a lot of people just don't care. And until it starts affecting their lives, they're not even gonna be interested. Fortunately, with the gas prices going up, some people are starting to, you know, wake up and pay attention and say, well, gee, this isn't so great after all, this guy Obama. But they don't know anything about his criminality, the Social Security numbers, the birth certificate. Everybody thinks of the birth certificate. Oh, he produced it, because it's only out on the internet that we know the truth. It has to be a two-pronged attack. We have to educate the people, and we have to hammer the people that are supposedly our representatives. They have to be hammered.
Yeah.
Totally agreed.
But,
totally agreed. So in that regard, I think not only is that making it very clear, as you suggested, well, first, again, I forgot to point out that you have a new website. Would you please mention what that is and what your goals are, and then we'll get back to hammering our officials.
Sure. Well, what happened was Kathy and I we talked from time to time, and it just happened to be that over this weekend we were chatting, and she mentioned that she was working tirelessly on this letter that she has published, and it was part of the conversation here earlier, and we, you know, like a lot of us, we're always tossing around ideas and brainstorming and wringing our hands, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, you know, I started a blog, another blog. By the way, the anniversary of giveusliberty1776.blogspot.com is coming up in about another week, a week and a half. And I can't believe I'm still doing this because, you know, I would just as soon, you know, retire from doing this, but I will not give up. But anyway, I started another blog about a year ago. And the whole premise was kind of creating a sort of a pyramid scheme. It was called the Power of 10 Project, and basically it was directing people to go to the blog and take assignments, kind of like what we were talking about just a few minutes ago with the state assignments, the captains, and do things, and also ask 10 other people that you know to at least come and explore the possibility of also doing these same assignments, and that those 10 people would network, et cetera, et cetera. That's why it was called the Power of 10. Well, I must confess, it was a total bomb. I think there was like 3 people that showed interest. And I talked to some people on the phone, and they weren't interested. They were interested, but, oh, I can't recruit 10 people. And if I talk to people about these problems, they just shake their head, and, well, they're not interested. Well, it's a year later now. The dynamics have changed a bit. And I offered Kathy, I said, well, look, I'll change the name of the blog from the Power of 10 Project. We'll call it One Nation Under Fraud. And
I love it.
Yeah, and we're going to sort of utilize that blog, at least for the time being. If we feel that we get some traction and people will go visit, we'll keep that that document that Kathy has created updated with the most pertinent information and links, and we'll try to direct people there for information and for ideas about what to do to get the word out and help save our country. And that's what the blog was all about. I'm hoping that, you know, the times have changed and people will be more enthusiastic, and I think the marketing can be a little bit better. I know more people, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what that's all about. It's not quite up and running. It exists, but I've got to do some tweaking and maybe change the URL, but it will be promoted off of my blog, and I'm sure other people will be promoting it too for us. So perhaps that blog will serve as a central place that maybe we can network and have people working in local states and using that as a central command post, so to speak. I don't know.
Now, for example, a great idea came up in the chat room about banner planes. Now, what about a banner plane over a sporting event that said, Born a Brit, Not Legit?
That would be cool, yeah.
With a picture. Now, see, this is the one benefit of having a site where people, for example, could make PayPal donations or maybe organize it in their own states with donations from pilots who would agree, might even donate the plane.
Right.
Have you seen that plane? Have you seen that plane? I know it was an email that came around, and it was over an air show, and under the wings it says, Stop Obama.
Yes.
So somebody's
I mean, to really
that.
Start doing this now.
That's it.
You
but,
know,
well,
you can
and,
think
and
about...
And might I say that, that blog, if people would just spend the time and stop and put their ideas there, we could start collecting all these ideas and then sort of doling out assignments to people and saying, hey...
Now, for example, here's some other ideas, like a banner drop on a freeway with some of the same...
Oh.
The same kinds of one statements. You know, you can just put it there and leave it. Let them go take it down. Various other kinds of things like that. And it also strikes me that one thing that would be kind of fun, and I don't think they'd actually really know what we'd be doing, but in some kind of order, we could organize in every state capital, like maybe twice a month or however many months it would take us, or on the same day in various states, some demonstration at the Capitol or some focused kind of, or maybe that's at the congressman's office or something like that, but something where we do this, start doing this all over the country. Over the country, these things start showing up.
Well, yeah, and I'll give you an example. For example, California is a huge state. Okay, I live in the southern end, but I know a Pam Barnett. She lives in Sacramento, so she would take the responsibility of having a core group in Sacramento, you know, 30, 40 people, you know, maybe it grows, and she, you know, she goes there and demonstrates, you know, and that's an assignment that she has, you know, once or twice a month. And, you know, you get how you see how this works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while we were talking, I got an email from Commander Kirchner, and he mentioned something that I had thought about, and that is to add a link to his archives and, you know, to the flyers that he puts out. Wonderful.
Right. Actually,
yeah, wonderful.
I do have a link on that new website already. But, yeah, I would like to feature those
I'm
flyers,
put it
too.
In here.
By the way, I think he already knows, and I'll tell you ladies right now, that I actually, when I said I hand out a lot of flyers, his flyers that he runs in the Washington Times, I print them back to back. So maybe one is natural born citizen, and on the other side, it's about the social security numbers. And I hand out those flyers, and they're more appealing for people to look at because, you know, they have some illustrations and stuff like that. And it's
so professionally done.
Very informative. Very informative. And lead you to some place as well. And I think that's critical. We could put all of those kinds of ideas, and again, the ideas of the postcards as well. So, Commander, I'm putting your site in the chat room. But anyway, yeah. So these are various things we can do. Now, one of the things that would surprise people is if we had also different targets, like, for example, every month we have everybody in 50 states targets the state capital. The next month everybody goes to the major media outlets, and we have to bring some, you know, just some shame on the media for constantly spinning this. And, you know, so I wish we had some funding because, I don't know, I'll tell you, if I won the lottery, I would definitely set up, you know, a national network of radio stations and TV stations, conservatives, that would start laying this stuff out. But, of course, you know, they'd cut off any license I could possibly get. But
remember a couple months ago, time flies, it's like 6 months ago, five, 6 months ago, if we had a wealthy benefactor and we could produce a DVD and get it mailed
That's
to every
right.
house, we could circumvent, you know, that problem, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's all about educating people.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could do that, but is there a less expensive option? I mean, so many of us, there's Obama Release Our Records is in the in the chat here, and he does this great video work, as well as Kenyan-born Obamacorn and others. Are we talking about something that could be, you know, a YouTube-produced and downloaded on a CD and a DVD and given to people, so to speak? You know,
I don't know about giving, because even though it's cheap to produce a DVD, you're
all right, fine. I mean, or for nominal, but something like that. Because, you know, I agree, if we had the time, and there are certainly these good DVDs that are out there already that people have to buy, but a less expensive option would be for us to have, frankly, a collection of the best YouTubes on this problem on one DVD. And then nominal price, you know.
Well,
or you
direct the people, the American public, to where they can view those.
Where
on
they
the
can
internet.
Download it.
Yeah, you know.
Right.
It's something to consider. I think a lot of the people that are looking at this stuff, you know, here's the problem. Obama released your records. I don't want to misquote, but I talk to him all the time. You know, he's getting 25,000 to 35,000 people coming to his site. A lot of that's repeat business, okay? Obviously, it's growing, but it's infinitesimal. And a lot of it's the same people over and over. You know, they want to know more about what's going on. It's the people that are uninformed and that aren't even thinking about looking at this information that need to be targeted. Somehow, see, that's why the media is doing such a disservice. If this story popped up on the news one night, boy, the whole country would be rocking.
Well, you know, I think when it comes right down to it, we each need to work in our own little niche of whatever our expertise is. And I don't know about billing out jobs, because something might work for some person but not for another. But if everybody or as many people as we could get enthused about trying to get to the truth and to save our country, did what they could in their own sphere.
Actually, I disagree, Kathy. I'll tell you why. Because people, in my opinion, and I don't know, you know, whether Dr. Kate will agree, maybe you'll both disagree with me, people need direction. They need to have somebody sort of, you know, leading the way. You know,
well,
a lot
Democrats
of these
do. But I don't
Pardon
know
me?
About the conservatives. The Democrats do. They go a monolithic block. But
well, they would
the
want to know what
they're not the same as the Democrats, and we're a little bit more independent minded.
Well,
no, I think that one of the sort of melding of this of both of these approaches would be to have a targeted list of civic actions.
Right.
Civic actions on the overthrow of the Constitution. We can't say that in the title because they'll twist it and think we want to overthrow the Constitution.
Right.
When they have, in fact, done that.
Right.
But if we have a central place, people can make donations. We can say, look, you know, we're trying to develop, you know, banner planes, postcards. If we have all the PDFs, all the YouTubes, all the places there, and a menu of civic actions and suggested coordinated actions, maybe as we get more people to sign up to that site as taking responsibilities for counties or states or something like that, that can be a place where people can come and choose.
Right.
And then I think we have to do the work with all of the other blogs, my blog, anybody's blog, anybody who is on the Constitution has to have a link to this thing.
Right.
So that if they want to do civic actions, this is the place to go. And there are
mm-hmm.
things like postcards or posters or banner drops or
flyers.
Or
yeah.
the ideas of things that could be donated, like the airplanes, things like that. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
And Gary, is your site One Nation Under Fraud? Is that the place to go? Is this what you're envisioning?
That's
what you're both envisioning of this site.
Yes. To be a place where people can get direction on what to do and also give ideas on what to do.
Yeah.
And perhaps organize. You know, where somebody says, "Hey, I live in Nevada. I would like to help. Twice a month having a demonstration in Carson City at the Capitol. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then people email the person and they say, well, here I've got six contacts in Nevada. I've got and then they make contact. You know what I mean? And
right.
And they organize. And you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yes.
Networking.
I think it's a terrific idea, and you build that network, and they can choose from a menu. I would say that if you use that term, civic action.
Right.
Well,
it's taking back our country.
As what to do.
Taking back our country.
As well as what to do. It reinforces that, in fact, we do have civic responsibilities right now to get our country back. This is what it means to be a U.S. citizen. Is, you know, and I know this because I'm a naturalized U.S. citizen. I took the oath to protect, you know, against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that sentence when I took that oath at 18. That was a long time ago.
I am not a natural-born citizen also. I'm a naturalized citizen too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And I have two sons, 18 and 20 years old, that were born at UCLA Medical Center. Can't get much more American than that, so to speak, and they're not natural-born citizens either,
because
their mother was not a citizen at the time. So, you know, I mean, let's play it straight, you know?
Yeah, and let's talk again about the benefits of that, because certainly we can see the benefits of having a natural-born citizen simply by pointing out all the number of times Obama has bowed or trashed us or misrepresented us or, you know, spent our money overseas or violated. You know, that's what it means to have a natural-born citizen. He wouldn't do these 50 things routinely every day.
Let's don't kid ourselves.
Cool.
I mean, let's just say it straight out. He is the greatest danger to this country. He is an enemy of this country.
That's right.
It's plain, pure, and simple. He's an enemy.
Domestic enemy number one.
His enemy number one. He was installed to destroy the country that America as we know it. He is there to destroy the country. And until the majority of the American people wake up and understand that you know, if that message could be gotten through, you know, boy, we'd have the numbers.
Now, one thing I agree. And this is what I'm going to suggest right now, just slightly goes to another place, which is, again, building on a comment that was in the chat room, which is to also focus on the lesser partners. Now, how is Nancy Pelosi allowed to slip by through here when she allowed this? We have all that work on JBJD's site, which is very good, we should be also writing and calling for an investigation of her, or just at least letting people know that we know that she's a fraud. And that does relate to the CRS memos. So someone could be very creative and come up with a postcard campaign that calls for investigation of her. But I generally agree. We're going to have to make it very uncomfortable for all of them. All of them.
I think it's easier to focus on Obama because he's the big fish in the pond, and people can kind of, and there's so much ammunition. I mean, if you could really get somebody aside that you work with every day that's totally, totally clueless as to what's going on, and you pull them aside and you say, let's go in this empty office and I'm going to talk to you for an hour, and so that they come out, they're going to be stunned with, you know, assuming that they've got an open mind, they're going to absolutely be shaken in their boots if you tell them what this guy, who he is and what he's doing.
I agree. Now, there was an idea that also came up from, I believe, Debbie Kidd, which wrote to the state legislature, can't remember his name, Sloan?
The Hawaii
state legislature.
Right,
because, you know, Hawaii is implicated here. It's a problem. So calling for investigations everywhere is also another piece that we do, and whether it is a letter to the editor or straight out, that's another civic action that is a collection of things that we must do right now. Now, I know that some people have thought about and I have thought about this too, a major demonstration, and someone has suggested a year from, I think, June 15th, which is that the British American War, the War of 1812, which sometimes has been called the Second American Revolution. But in 2012, in my view, it's too late. So here is another strategy. We have to be prepared. Again, this is focusing on Obama. But we also have to be prepared to knock him off the ballot. Now, this is why I mentioned JBJD's work earlier, is because she's already got lawsuits and the forms that are necessary to make sure the Democrat National Committee cannot commit this fraud again this year. And so that we need to also be able to stop people at those levels and at the Secretary of State level. Because remember, the purpose of Howard Dean's 50-state program was to put in 50 Democratic Secretaries of State, and that's pretty much what you have right now. So they have to be absolutely watched and so forth. So as we are, in my view, that becomes not only a menu for part of the menu of civic actions, but sort of a plan B, if you will, that starts working now to keep him off the ballot. And in this regard, this is where that really ticks me off about Trump and anyone else who is running for president. And this is an issue that perhaps, excuse me, Commander Kirshner might want to talk about, or Mario Puzo, but it looks to me like what Obama has done is manufactured legal precedent that is beneficial to him, which is about the timing of filing of challenges, which means that as soon as Obama has declared his candidacy and filed his papers, the only people who can challenge him, and correct me if I'm wrong, are in fact other candidates. So who are these people standing up there? Who is going to run to challenge him? It makes me want to suggest that, you know, that we run a candidate specifically so
I
he can
Alan
challenge...
Keith. Alan Key.
Challenge Obama in court.
I think Alan Key should run.
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
And he could do it. He could do it now and get on board. But we'd have to get in. You know, have to be just like a campaign. It would have to be really financed and so forth. But basically, you'd have to have the standing to challenge him.
Well,
this
I'm
is the only people who can do that right now.
Well, I, you
and
know,
in the
I
meantime,
agree,
we've got a menu of civic actions at the lower level. That we harass our secretaries of states, the local parties, and so forth, and what they're doing to just delay, throw logs under their train as they try to steal the vote. Sorry, I'll shut up for a second there. See, just a second. Sorry.
Go ahead, Gabby.
You know, I like the idea of having a menu because that way people are more in charge of what it is that they're going to be doing. And I think they might buy into something that they feel like they have more control rather than somebody just saying, we need you to do this, this, and that. I mean, that works really good for the Democrats because they don't think for themselves. But conservatives are a different breed. We do think for ourselves. And we all have our own strengths, and we know what they are. But I really like that idea. Where there's something there that we can look at and say, gosh, I think I could do that. I'm going to go ahead and try it. And then just see how that goes, because there might be a number of people that want to do the same thing or maybe not. But just kind of let it be a natural flow.
Well, great. And here's, I seem to be full of all these other ideas, mainly because I'm longing for travel is, but if there are any truckers out there or anybody who has a CB radio, find out what truckers are thinking about this. Because you know darn well they're getting killed by gas prices and all this manipulation of purchase of the rail system by, Buffett, which is going to displace trucks and so forth. How can we build that network in? Because not only are CB is going to be immune to everything that they will be doing to our cell phones and so forth, but they can be called in when we need them at certain capitals or in certain areas, so forth, to just simply park and help make a point.
Or how about just those guys getting on their CBs and start talking the patriotic talk?
Exactly.
And start educating,
or even
them.
One of us doing a show,
having a call signal, getting a CB, having a call signal and taking a trip, and, you know, reading or talking or getting that discussion going. You know, that we basically plant that ourselves. We start doing this ourselves and identify ourselves as a patriot, you know, for heaven's sakes. But I think we're going to get a lot more people like that on those CBs, because, you know, a lot of the farmers and everybody else have those tools as well. So this is the way to begin to connect.
One of the things that I don't understand is why, I can rationalize, but I don't understand, is why somebody like a Sarah Palin, who obviously wants to be president, wants to be the first woman president, Michelle Bachmann, same thing. Why they just can't step up to a microphone and say enough is enough. These are all the crimes that have been committed in the last 2 years, and we also need to investigate whether this man is legitimately in office. In other words, don't even though you know, you don't have to be over the top, but you can certainly, you know, just focus on the birth certificate thing. They could save this country tomorrow, somebody like that. Somebody of note, somebody of stature. And this could be all over in 24, 48 hours. But we don't have one Patrick Henry, one Paul Revere, one George Washington. We don't have one John Adams or Ben Franklin. Everybody's just hiding from this issue.
What do you think about Ron Paul?
Well, he's already on record as having made some derogatory remark about the birthers, hasn't he, if I'm not mistaken?
Well, I think he said basically he wasn't going to raise the issue because he would be embarrassed. But right now he wants to run for president too. And, you know, I don't think there's any way the Republican Party is going to make him the nominee. So he runs again as a spoiler, which allows Obama to win. How about poking him, saying, look, man, we don't think you're going to win. But, boy, you could do a really big service if you got in. Maybe he didn't even have to mention it, but he could be one as a candidate to challenge Obama. But
well,
It
would be nice to focus on a Republican candidate and just badger them about this issue. But how do we get access to them about, you know, I mean, you know, it's an idea. Neil Turner and I have talked about focusing, this was brought up earlier in this program, about targeting Alan West. You know, he's a military man and he's black. They can't play the race card. We could, you know, he obviously wants, he's obviously enjoying the perks and privilege and power of being a congressman. You know, all of a sudden he's got a pension, another pension, and a A1 health care, and all the perks that go with it. And he's just towing the Republican line. The leadership have gotten him aside and talked to him and said, you know, this birther issue, don't go near it or we're going to destroy you politically. You're not going to be part of the team. You're not going to be on any committee. I think he's sold out. I mean, I think, you know, basically he's a good guy. But is he a good guy if he sells out his country for himself? And Michelle Bachmann. I like Michelle Bachmann a lot. But, I mean, she looked like a fool when she talked to Stephanopoulos when he waved that fake thing in front of her. She goes, well, there you go, George. I guess it's all settled. You know, I mean, come on. We had to just hammer these people and embarrass them. Who cares about embarrassing them?
A couple of things I want to mention with regard to Alan West, who's been pointed out in the chat that he said, you know, we need to have more important things to do about, you know, think about policy. Of course, we are not going to vote out this corruption. But I can't understand his betrayal of Terry Lakin.
Absolutely.
There's not even been one suggestion, I think, on anything that he absolutely needs to be pressed as a member of Armed Services Committee to start an investigation. And his office, I believe, needs to be not occupied, but we need to have a lot of people around him all the time pressing him on this and make it very uncomfortable for him when he goes home and hold pictures of Terry Lakin up and ask him what the hell he's doing to protect his own.
Let me just illustrate further how pervasive this corruption really is, how evil it is, how despicable the members of our government are. John Boehner, he could have spoke out the next day And he had held a press conference the next day after Teresa Cao yelled out, "Accept Obama." And he could have said, "This House, this body, is not going to persecute a young woman who spoke from the heart and spoke spontaneously about something that she feels strongly about. We don't particularly want to talk about the issue, but we're not going to." She is still facing, they're still hammering her. She's had about 5 hearings, and they're badgering her to plead guilty and take probation and community service, and if not, go to trial with a 6-month sentence hanging over her head. What kind of government is that?
Well, you know, something, too, that I think we keep missing, the Republican Party is not going to save this country because they're not. They're as complicit as the Democrats.
Absolutely.
You know, and we keep thinking that the Republican Party will do what they're supposed to do, but they've been probably co-opted a long time ago. And our Republican congressmen, they don't answer to us. They answer to the party leadership. And we need to get our heads around that. I don't know who we are to them, except, you know, they use our money, and they use us. It's very frustrating because where do we turn to? You know,
well,
we need to have somebody.
Boils,
if we're going to get a Republican elected that will really do something, we need to get behind someone who will actually do something for the people that he's supposed to represent, or she.
And we don't know who that person is.
We
don't know for sure who that person is.
No, we don't. Right now, it doesn't look like any, because out of the 535 people in Congress, who has even raised the question? Who's even allowed the question to be pursued in their office by their staffers to do the research? None of them.
Right at the beginning of this program, Dr. Kate said, "Cannot vote out corruption." You cannot vote out corruption, and she just mentioned it again. I wrote it down at the beginning of the program, and that's the problem, is that we're going to have to do it ourselves. And that's what this whole conversation has been about, is brainstorming and tossing it around ideas. We've got to get to that critical mass. We have to educate the American people, or we have to have a leader, somebody of note, somebody that we can stand behind, somebody with the courage to address this nation and say enough is enough. You know, this is a people's movement. This is a country for and by the people, and enough of this corruption.
Well, we need that for sure. We really do need that. And we have a lot of people like Dr. Kate and a whole bunch of others who have their own blogs or their own programs, but we don't have one person overall. That person hasn't shown him or herself yet to be in the public scene enough where they would actually be, going for political office so that we could get behind them. And that's really what we need, because what we got now, the two-party is not a two-party, basically.
It's one party. And
yeah.
I think, again, the relentless pressure on all 535 members and some in particular is absolutely necessary. And I keep seeing in my mind, I'm thinking of the truckers, I'm thinking of a point where we in fact will come to take back our seats, and that will have to be a threat. We're going to come and change this if you don't. And at some point, even if it is in 2012, if we make it through the comet LNN that's coming by, we'll be sitting in there basically locking the doors in some way that we can, because it's what I'm saying and what I think everybody, we all agree, all of our institutions, they're not going to do anything unless we absolutely come for them. And
mm-hmm.
we can absolutely deal with our voting and so forth, but that's not enough. The other thing another person had mentioned, which is perhaps another idea, is to screw up all of their polls in terms of not answering any of the polls that they're doing, because they're going to tell us who they're running and who's winning, and try to say that Obama is 90 points ahead when in fact he's 90 points behind, and so forth. So again, another menu of civic actions. I want to caution about single leaders, because the ones who have stepped up so far, I'm not going to mention any names, but there are conditions that they will lead. There are conditions. And right now, we don't need anybody on conditional leadership.
Yeah.
And so, I think when Dr. Casebew did the usurpathon, I began to think about each of the blogs on this having their own sort of platoon, but and small organizing. There won't be one person. Those who are there will lovingly take your money and screw you, or require that you renounce this or this, or follow their view of one thing or another. So we have to, again, what's a great leader? A leader, in my view, is really bringing out the leadership in everybody else. I think creating a menu of civic actions and even having videos on how successful those might be would be very empowering for people, and they could pick it up without even thinking about, uh-oh, I'm being a leader. Uh-oh, I don't want to be the one. You know what I'm saying? So in a lot of ways, we're a guerrilla movement.
Right.
The more our leadership is dispersed, the better, and the less we are able to be like sideswiped, like the Tea Party, or taken over by anybody.
Good point.
I read somewhere today, I think I read it today somewhere on the Internet, that there's approximately 3,000 sheriff departments in the United States. It would be nice if we could have somebody walk into every one of those 3,000 sheriff departments, because you're allowed to do this, and claim that there's a crime being committed, by Obama. You know what I mean? And, just to...
Gary, I already did that with the American grand jury presentments. Let me tell you what happened.
Nothing.
I did that with my local sheriff in the county here. I did it with the district attorney. You know what the district attorney said? The sheriff didn't even acknowledge it, but the district attorney brought me in, invited me in to speak with him. I guess he wanted to know if I was some sort of radical or something. So I went in and talked to him and showed him the presentment of charges that we came up with, and he said he couldn't do anything about it. And I said, you took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. I said, what does that mean to you? And basically he said it's within his own realm of authority, which was for that area here in Colorado. So, they aren't going to touch a federal issue. At least
no,
my guy
but wait.
Provision of felony, is it?
Well, here's another piece. Yeah, going at it from the misprision of felony is another standpoint. Is you're simply reporting the crime and you remind them what
you on every police station, every sheriff, and you make a nuisance of yourself all the time.
You just keep sending it, and that's very different than a grand jury presentment, which they can, as long as it's citizens' grand jury, they can claim they don't have any ability to deal with it. But if you are reporting a crime and get people to do so and write a few letters to the editor where you're saying, hey, I'm looking at Title 18, Section 4, and did you know that if you know about a crime, you're supposed to report it? Well, I reported it. And so, again, I had a misprison felony post up there, report the crime. So I think, again, that's another civic action. That's another thing we can do is provide the forms on that one website you both have to have people just be able to download these things and move it.
I think one of the easiest things anybody can do, if they really want to do something, but they're just not that motivated to step out their front door, is to we can provide the emails, email like local media. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of email addresses for little local newspapers and little radio stations and TV stations. And you could make a habit. Let's say you live in Idaho, and you get all the ones, the contact information, let's say there's 300 email addresses that just pretty much covers the state as far as local media, the local newspapers and the radio and TV, and you email them every week religiously, and you send them a different video link, a different article, a different this, a different that. You can be damn sure somebody's going to be looking at some of this stuff from time to time, and then they're going to be talking to their colleague and to their spouse and to their friend and saying, and it's just going to wear them down. More and more people will be talking and talking and talking. You do that on a state-by-state basis, you know, then maybe some local station all of a sudden is going to blurt something out on the air and say, you know what, you know, we're going to have this guest on today to talk about eligibility or Obama's social, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, excellent ideas, excellent. Are you all ready for a caller? We have a caller here. I'm not screening because I'm here by myself. Are you ready for a caller with a question?
Oh, yeah, of course. Too much talking on our end.
Oh, my goodness. We only have 10 minutes remaining. I can't believe it. All right. Sorry about that.
Oh, my gosh.
And if it's a bad caller, I'm going to mute him right away. So let me see. 607, you're live, please.
Yes. I was very, very interested in Kathy Gatto's letter about demanding that we be heard. And I think that if we get something like that, if we all get behind it and get it to somebody like Sarah Palin or somebody of that stripe and get behind it, it says it all. It's very, very thorough. And it explains everything just the way we want it said. What do you think about it?
I think it's a good idea.
But you see, it's important to get behind it and push it. I sent Kathy an email just a little while ago about putting up like a table of contents on the original letter to let people know. Pardon me?
Is Charles?
Yes, Charlie.
Yes, Charlie.
Yeah, okay, and Kathy, you do what you want with that, but any way I can help you, I will help you. And I think it's very important, like I had said to you originally, and I even emailed Gary.
Hello?
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 Looks like he dropped off.
He sent me a table of contents, and I think it's a great idea. I'm going to add that to my document.
His voice sounded familiar.
Charlie, if you hear us, I'm going to take that advice. I think it's really good, and add a table of contents. This document was just, you know, put together pretty quickly, but it's going to be a living document, so I'm going to be updating it. Thank you for that, Charlie.
You know, the other thing that I'd like to sort of raise with you right now in just the 7 minutes we have is something I've been looking at the First Amendment, and also my friend Tenacity has been talking about this. The First Amendment right to assemble and petition for redress, those things are together, assemble and petition for redress. And I can see, for example, a petition for redress that not only requires the investigation and removal of Obama, but the removal and resignation of all members of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And because we are saying, you know, you guys have messed up, we also need to have a plan, if you will. And I'm not wanting to complicate anything because we've got a specific target right now on Obama. But in the long run, like the Continental Congresses of days old did, was to say, look, this is a plan of how we return to constitutional
mm-hmm.
governance. And I'll just
mm-hmm.
throw in one piece and let you both have the remaining 6 minutes. One of those, for example, if we want the Senate to resign, all of them, we do
mm-hmm.
that in the context of acknowledging the 17th Amendment was never passed properly, or the states nullify that, and to replace the Senate immediately, the states return to their role, and they choose, the state legislatures choose the senators
mm-hmm.
from each state. So a long-term plan. So in addition to saying we need to move people out, we've got to also have a plan because, just last thing I promise, is they're all going to threaten that, oh, it's going to take us 10 years to undo this, and, oh, there are going to be riots. So there you go. You both have the last 6 minutes. Thank you. Please go ahead.
That's a good point, Dr. Kate, because you can't take something away without have something to replace it. It just doesn't work because you'll have an implosion. And, boy, that'd be something I'd love to work on because my appeal is more in the writing and the research rather than the organizing and the getting out. I'm not that much of a people person. I'm more in my head than anything else. But there's a place for everybody to do something. But I like that. You can't just take something away unless you have something to replace it with. And that's my point on that. So, Gary, go ahead if you got something to add to that.
Well, you know, it all boils down to, you know, we've got to do something, obviously. And like I said before, we don't have the numbers yet. And this goes back to the concept that that's what they have calculated all along. They've calculated that they can perpetuate this fraud long enough to the point where it's done and over. By the election of 2012, that's it. We're finished. I don't see any way out of it after that. So we've got less than 18 months to resolve this issue, and we need to work as a team. We need to work fast, and we need to be focused. I was just kind of curious. I don't have the chat room up on my laptop, but I don't know how many people are in there, but I was just kind of curious if you might want to poll them. And I know that, you know, people will sometimes – it doesn't really prove anything, but it, nevertheless, you could throw this question out to them. How many people in the chat room are going to do something tomorrow to save their country? And I don't know. You know, I don't see the chat room on my computer screen. I'm not going to pull it up now. But are people, you know, just sitting quietly, or are they saying, yes, I'll do something?
Yeah, everybody's saying, I will. You know, there's a delay in the chat room here. There are 32 people in the chat room. There are several people on the phone, and there will be listeners. And I think what we have gotten to in this discussion, very important, is you've got a site right now, One Nation Under Fraud, where we can start begin to load a series of civic actions,
right.
A menu of civic actions. And I assume, and we're doing this right now, is we're putting out a request right now for captains to come on in, or whatever you want to call yourselves,
right.
From every state, from one state, whatever you need, because this is going to require all of our work to move this forward. And there are a bunch of ideas, and there should be an invitation for them. So this is what we've got to do. We've got 3 minutes.
Go
ahead, Pat.
I know we're running out of time. You know, we can actually make this a bit of a competition, too. In other words, like, you know, show some state pride and see what you can do to outdo the other state in terms of, you know, I got 42 people at my state capitol last week. You know, Rhode Island, what are you going to do next week? You know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Make it kind of.
Yes.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Like a contest. We could also, again, to raise money to help people. With this, we could, you know, do T-shirts. We could do all kinds of things to at least keep this going. But again, no conditions here. Let's just get these actions going.
Well, the thing is too that you cannot be shy about this issue. You cannot be going around your day-to-day life and have this, you know, in your heart, you know, in your mind, and then you're afraid to talk to people, or you're afraid to hand them a flyer or bring it up in conversation. You just cannot afford to do it. If you've got kids, if you want a future, if you're young, you know, if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, even your 50s, and you want a future in this country, you better stand up now, because it's rapidly going through your fingers. It really is. It's scary.
Kathy, you have the last word.
I just want to encourage anybody and everybody out there who's listening to join us, because we are on the move, and we need as many people to get involved as possible, and everybody has their own little expertise that they can do something. And together, you know, it's that old trite saying, united we stand, divided we fall. Well, let's not. We don't want to fall. We want to go ahead and charge through and get the victory here. So join us. Do whatever you can. Gary will have that website up. There will probably be a menu of some good ideas that you can choose from if you don't know where to start. We'll help you in any way we can with ideas. So join us. It's going to be a fun ride.
Well, thank you so much. My Patriot friends, I'll welcome you back again. Thanks to everyone for coming. What a fast hour and a half. I will talk soon. Thanks a lot, all, for coming.
Thank you, Dr. Kate.
Thank you, Dr. Kate.
Thanks for coming.
And God bless
Thanks
you.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
If you're down and confused and you don't remember who you're talking to, concentration, slip away, 'cause your baby is so far away.
Well, there's a road in the vicinity, and the eagle flies.
There's a girl right next to you, and she's just waiting for something to do.
And there's a rose in the princess's eye, and the eagle flies with the dove. And if you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with, love the one you're with.
Thank you.